Well, Heavenly Father, we're glad to come before your throne of grace on this, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, and to sing praises to you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us and guiding us in all that we do and all that we say. And you be our teacher. We thank you for this. In the name of Christ our King, amen. Number 21 on our song sheet. O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing, His power is love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. O tell of His might, O sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. And then number 6. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever and ever. Forever our God, You are faithful. Forever our God, You are strong. Forever God, You are with us. Forever and ever and ever. And the next one. He is lovely. He is holy. Gave supremely that all men might see. He is gentle, tender-hearted, risen Savior. He is God. You are lovely, yes you are. You are holy. You gave supremely that all men might see. You are gentle and tender-hearted. departed, risen Savior, you are God. You are God. You are God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Make it personal now. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you will I trust. And I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you will I trust. My God, in you will I trust. My God, in you will I trust. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The Lord reigns. Yes, He does. The Lord reigns. That's for sure. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before Him and burns up all His enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Sing it out. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare His righteousness. The people see His glory. For You, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. The Lord reigns. Our Lord, You reign. Our Lord, You reign. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Well, last week we heard about the total eclipse, which of course only occurred from coast to coast here in the United States, in America. And the question has been asked, although I certainly can't answer it, but the question has been asked, and some people observe that the eclipse made it look like a cross in the sky. That wouldn't surprise me. And of course, as we're today, the passage of scripture that we'll be looking at certainly has a lot of these things to say. The Lord is showing himself in many, many different ways to those people who are alert enough or awake enough. Of course, as we speak, the hurricane down in the Gulf, bringing a lot of rainfall to different parts of, I guess, Florida and Texas and Louisiana, and all the cataclysm that comes with that. And as I had shared with a particular person that's concerned about somebody that's there in Texas, I said, I suppose when you might see your car floating down the river, or, you know, the issue, of course, always, particularly in that area of the country, there's a lot of spiders and a lot of snakes. And, of course, those kind of flooding situations bring them out. There's a lot of things, and it's in situations like that that a lot of people will call out to the Lord. It's like saying there are no atheists in foxholes. And so the issue becomes, once again, we know that the Lord is evidencing his presence with us. Only those that are asleep at the switch are not paying attention to know that. Well, today I want to look at a passage of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And as we have often said, in looking particularly at a passage of scripture like this concerning spiritual warfare, it doesn't take long really to discover the fact that this is not just a physical war. We've got lots of physical wars going on, whether it be in Afghanistan or Qatar or the Sudan or wherever across the world, those physical wars, but you become a Christian, you accept Christ as your Savior, and you find out there's a real spiritual war out there. So, today, we'll read that entire chapter of Scripture from verse 1 to 14. So, Mrs. Lear and I will do the reading today. And so, Mrs. Lear, you can start at verse 1 and read through verse 7.
All right, first Peter, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7 from the English Standard Version. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, from the English Standard Version.
And I'm reading from the King James Translation. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you, all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, from verses 8 through 14. And that first verse that I began to read, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's quite a metaphor, especially if you understand that lions, there are only a few animals actually on earth that actually will hunt humans for food. And lions will do that. That happens very frequently in different places that lions exist, in Africa, where lions will actually hunt people and eat them and so forth. So it's quite a metaphor to describe the devil as a roaring lion, and of course the idea of being sober. Now, when we say being sober, does that mean not being drunk, certainly with liquor? Yes, it means that, just like in Revelation 1:6, or being vigilant, you know, the same thing that we would look at, for example, self-controlled, watchful. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, when they get lackadaisical, thinking all is well and not paying attention, not being vigilant, not being sober, not really looking out for what's going on, that's when the devil is going to attack. Now, it was interesting, I read recently that somebody had made the statement that in their church they had never heard any preaching about the devil or about Satan. Now, the issue is we do not want to in any way, shape, or form glorify him or give him anything more than what we should. But at the same time, it's like, for example, anyone that's been in the military, myself included, we were taught about the enemy's tactics. You've got to learn the enemy's tactics. Or even if you were in the military, let's just say if you're a football player, you watch movies or you watch videos of the opposing team and what their tactics are. That's very important to do. So it's the same thing for us in the spiritual war that we're living even now. So there are great similarities between the physical war and the spiritual war. In the physical war, the enemy will openly often launch multiple strikes in the same attack. It's interesting, this has been quite a week for us. It just seems like what I usually refer to as pesky demons, things that should not have happened, and of course, for me, all of 2017, from the beginning of 2017 even to now, is I have been under attack of one sort or another. I've had many dreams of showing me certain things were going on, and I've mentioned that in previous sermons about how I was attacked and the protection of the Lord in that, sending his angels to protect me. It's interesting that, you know, Vietnam era war, I've had quite a few friends, of course, that were platoon leaders And even though I was not in country in Vietnam, I was trained for it as a platoon leader, young as I was, and so forth and so on. And it was identified that the enemy many times would leave alone certain platoons or certain companies that were particularly well prepared and go after the ones that were not well prepared. Now, does that make sense to anybody? It should make sense to me, just the same as we see in our life. And often, as I've said, you know, if you're looking for trouble, you've come to the right place. Well, what does that mean? To say, okay, we're sober, we're vigilant, we're paying attention, we're prepared, we're built up against the enemy. So if you're looking for trouble and you're really looking for an easy win, this would not be the place to go. The same thing, for example, with the imagery or the metaphorical situation with a roaring lion. Well, if the lion sees that people are on guard, he's not going to go there. He's going to go looking for the weaker ones. The same thing if you ever watch animals that are attacking a herd of other animals. They look for the weak ones. They look for the ones that are not paying attention. They're looking for that. Well, it's the same thing in our spiritual life. So it's very important for us to understand that. And of course, also, as we look at verse 9 in 1 Peter chapter 5, resist him. And of course, we're exhorted in other portions of Scripture that we're supposed to resist the enemy by submitting ourselves, right? Submitting ourselves to the Lord and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And so the issue, and it's worth repeating, I've said it often enough, the degree to which we are submitted to the Lord is the degree to which we can resist the enemy. And of course, as we look back at verse 5, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I made a statement yesterday to some friends who were visiting that I said, the only reason I am alive today, through all that I've gone through in 2017, is because of the grace of God and because of my wonderful angel of a wife that stood beside me every step of the way and so forth, at many disadvantages to herself. And so the issue is, I don't take credit for these things. The enemy loves that when we think we're going to stand on our own power because we're so strong and so forth. And of course, that's a violation in the Scriptures. And it's interesting also when we look back to verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And so this is a spiritual weapon, if you will, being clothed with humility. Those people that are proud and proud of themselves and think so much of their own abilities, that's a good way for the enemy to find a place to attack you. Because he knows, and I've often said it, when you look at Psalm 91, and we sang quite a few of the songs there, one of them was from Psalm 91, where we recognize that the enemy is able to quote Scripture. Why is he able to do that? He knows Scripture. And so he knows what we're supposed to be doing, and when we're not doing it, that's an easy door for him to attack through. And so people, it's time to wake up, and we pray for the entire body of Christ, the Corpus Christi, worldwide. I mean, if we look back in another chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 4, let's look at a couple of verses there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, and when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And so I can testify, certainly, on this beautiful Sunday in August, the last Sunday in August, I can certainly testify that this is true. I'm rejoicing and glad with exceeding joy, because none of the things that I have suffered even comes close to what Jesus suffered on my behalf. And I take it personally. I mean, we should. It's not just that Jesus suffered for mankind. He also suffered for me. And of course, in knowing that, strengthens us as we partake of the sufferings of Christ. I mean, Jesus was also attacked, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And so I have some exceeding joy, knowing that I came so close. I mean, there were times laying in the hospital bed, how many times I've been in hospital beds, how many medical procedures that have been done to me and so forth and so on, where I thought, I don't know that I'm going to make it. And of course, once again, being exhorted by the Holy Spirit, trust the Lord, continue to trust Him, continue to trust Him, and I have. And I hope and pray that everyone listening to this broadcast would think the same thing. And of course, one of the other things we want to look at, if you were to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you don't have to turn there necessarily, verses 3 through 5. If I was to read it in the New King James Version, for example, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And actually, in the King James translation, it says casting down arguments, casting down imaginations. Many times people are imagining things that the Lord has not said He was going to do, and imagining things that the Lord said He was going to do and not expecting them to do that. People, let me tell you something. Whatever the Lord said He was going to do, He will do. Whatever He said He isn't going to do, He isn't going to do. No matter what you do, you cannot twist His arm. You can't force Him. You can go on lengthy fast and say, I'm going to persuade the Lord to do this, or persuade Him to do that or the other thing. That's not going to happen. It just isn't. And so the issue for ourselves is that we recognize that the very weapon we need to fight the spiritual war is not carnal, is not fleshly, is not human in that sense. It's superhuman. And of course, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you know, we're being indwelled, not by carnality, not by fleshliness, not by worldliness. We're being indwelled by the power of God Himself, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, this is a spiritual war. And we consider that and look at it continually as what we need to be doing. He who has been born of God keeps himself, or guards himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So the issue is, that's from 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Of course, we need to listen to the essential key to understanding. Spiritual warfare, which key is also essential for winning spiritual battles. Do you like to win? I can tell you I like to win, particularly in something that is worthwhile. I mean, a lot of things in life are just minutiae. And I said to a dear friend yesterday, I said, as he was leaving from the house, visiting us, I said, keep your focus. You know, take care of the things that you're supposed to be taking care of, instead of going willy-nilly, chasing too many rabbits and catching none. Stay focused on what the things the Lord has put on our plate to stay focused with. And I'm looking at when all of what I'm going through here in 2017 is concluded. I've still got more surgery to go through no fault of my own. Things that happened to me that shouldn't have happened, mistakes that were made. It is a surprise that the enemy is trying to hamstring me and keep me from fulfilling the ministry that the Lord gave me so many years ago. when I was 6 years old and the Lord called out to me. So I still got things to do in life that the Lord wants me to do, and I'm fully expecting when all of this is through, my continued testimony, and to say that I will continue to do better at what the Lord's called me to do. Learning. Can you imagine that? In my 70th year of life, I'm still learning. Yes. Anyone that's not still learning can't be walking with the Lord. And if you settle down and you say, well, what else can I learn? Every single day as we study Scripture, we're going to learn something else. Every single day as we're walking with the Lord, He will teach us new things. So important. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who heals all your diseases. It's an interesting thing, too, when you look at the word disease, you know, whatever things we're dealing with, dis-ease. And it's been said that many doctors can tell you what's wrong with you, they just don't know what to do to fix you. And so many times in the idea of informing consent, okay, doc, you've informed me, but I don't consent to let you do whatever that you're planning to do because that's not what the Lord directed me to do. And of course, as we're trusting the Lord to supply our needs, it's, you know, we look at Philippians 4:19, of course in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, or Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all you need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. A lot of people just look at that as material wealth, as supplying the material things we need. It's far more than that. Far more than that. It's supplying the need for wisdom and understanding, and to have wisdom. And as you read through the book of Proverbs, and we've made some studies through the book of Proverbs recently, you look at those Proverbs and say, okay, yes, you need wisdom, but you need the understanding of how to use the wisdom that you've got, or that you've got, and using the wisdom wisely in a way that we would hope that the older you get, the wiser you get. And of course, we know also that the Lord has promised us a certain kind of peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we need our hearts to be guarded. And it's interesting, the last part of that 1 Peter chapter 5 that we've read today, it's a great benediction, which, of course, we have invocations and benedictions. And I like whenever any of the ceremonies that I do, I like to be able to use biblical invocations, biblical benedictions. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. And so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you, all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So you've got two places in verse 11 and 14 where you have an amen. And that's the blessing today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us. Thank you for giving this short time together. And we are blessed to be able to learn and to grow at your feet, O Lord Jesus. And we will have no other king but King Jesus. Amen and amen.